How to invest in real estate with a partner, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, what to avoid. That's today's show. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We're longtime real estate investors, and because we bought and sold many, many properties over the years, and we've had our ups and downs in real estate. We've invested with partners. We've certainly heard horror stories from people who've invested with partners. And today we're going to kind of tell you how to do it right and how to make sure the pitfalls to avoid, right?
Exactly right. Yes. So we're going to talk specifically about partnerships, not including a marriage. So in case you haven't figured it out, we are married. We're not siblings.
Right.
I wonder if people wonder that.
Like brother and sister?
Yeah, because we have the same last name. So no, I'm married into this last name.
That's right.
So we are married. Now, investing inside of your marriage is a different thing legally than it is maybe with a partnership. Because a lot of times when you invest in something as, you know, one person, one spouse, the other spouse is sort of along for the ride too. It very much depends on how you structure it. But we want to talk about different partnerships outside of the marriage today. So we hope that we can answer some questions from the live chat. If you're watching this on demand, we hope we answer the questions that you are telepathically sending us. But I've been restudying Garrett Sutton's books. He's one of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad advisors, and he has a whole series about starting your business, how to set up your business, how to invest in real estate. I was specifically reading his one called Start Your Own Corporation. And there's a lot in there that just, for me, it's a great refresher course to go over this, to talk about how we take title on real estate, how we invest with other people in real estate. So I'm going to be referring to the book a lot. I highly suggest that you don't use this as your only informational source for legal decisions, right? You should have your own team of experts. Please, I implore you to do that. So also use this as, like, a lot of times I'll listen to podcasts like this and I'm like, I want to ask my team of experts that question. So hopefully this incites you to ask those questions and then go to your all-star team.
Right. Because as Robert Kiyosaki likes to remind us all, you know, it's the team you surround yourself with that will protect you, lead you in the right directions. And Garrett Sutton, of course, is Robert Kiyosaki's main attorney. And so he's a wicked smart person. We've had him on the show a number of times. He's become a good friend, and he runs a great company that helps you set up your LLCs as well. So he can structure all of this for you. His company is called Corporate Direct. Just tell him you heard about him from us. He'll take care of you. You have to call a phone number, I think. They don't even have a form. You just go to their website, call them, and they'll help you set everything up. But a really fantastic resource. Okay, so let's ask.
In fact, in one of his books, he says, we'll give you a discount if you mention this book. Now, I'm not going to give out that discount because I think you should read the book. But I really do think that you should read the books. So he mentions that throughout. And if you're like deep into these books, it's worth it because obviously you've done the homework to, right, and you've shown that you're motivated to do things the right way if you're this far into a book like that instead of like a bodice ripper, right? So that's why, you know, it's important to make sure that you're just kind of following the trail of information that's been set out for you. So let's talk about specifically investing as a partnership.
So why, I was going to start with this question. Why would you want to invest with a partner? I mean, we have a lot of people that come to us at, you know, at our company who are going to buy properties together and they're not spouses, they're not married. Uh-huh. So why would you want to come together? Why wouldn't you just want to buy them in your own name?
Well, a lot of times people want to pool their savings, right? They both have decided, okay, I think we could buy this house. I only have half of it. Do you have the other half? Like, remember, Clayton had a news anchor he used to work with, one of his old shows, who was really interested in real estate. And they both sort of would spend their break room time talking about how they wish they owned real estate. And they went in together. Now, you two idiots bought these properties in your own names, right? And then those properties ended up being a humongous nightmare. And as I was reading recently and doing research on general partnerships, I realized that had you both either decided to partner in an LLC or got your own LLCs and partnered in order to buy the property, you wouldn't have had the same amount of headache, like maybe a third, as like this, these specific bad properties. We've talked about them on other shows, followed Clayton around for like 5 years, right? After some even longer. So you could have avoided that. Now, right. Of course, we've talked to you many times about why you don't want to buy something as a sole proprietor if it's an investment, right? You don't buy something in your own name. That means whatever you're buying or the name of your business, right, is not owned by Natalie Morris, the lady. And then when you make money, it's reported on Natalie Morris's social security number. No, you don't do that. Why?
Well, because then if you're sued, or it's all comes down to liability reasons, right? So if you're sued and someone, a tenant trips and falls at the property because there was a faulty handrail and the property management company didn't fix it and they've warned you a number of times and that person slips and falls and breaks an ankle, then they can sue Natalie Morris, the person. And then they can come after everything that Natalie Morris, the person, owns, a primary residence, and all sorts of other assets that they have in their own name.
Right. Not even forgetting the fact that also the money that I make as Natalie Morris, the lady, is treated way less favorably for tax reasons than Natalie Morris LLC will be, right? So it's a huge tax advantage to invest as an LLC. But you're right. For the purposes of this podcast or show, we're going to talk about the liability.
And the liability is important, but even Garrett Sutton's subtitle of his own book makes the point why the rich own their own companies.
Right.
Because of, and we're talking about the tax benefits of such entities.
Exactly. Right.
All right. So let's talk about the different types of partnerships. So I guess you want to start with the...
Let's talk about a general partnership, because I think a lot of people sort of do it that way. They just decide we're going to buy something together. And, you know, then they use their own personal names when they fill out every single form, right? So you and your friend, you bought this real estate together. You both were on the mortgage. You both had contributed the down payment, right? And the liability was in your personal names,
right?
Okay. So then let's say that I'm going to make up a really salacious scenario here that will scare you so that you won't ever do this. So let's say that you put 70% of the down payment and your friend Todd, that's not his name. We don't use real names on this show except our
Todd. All right, Todd.
Todd only put down 30%.
Okay.
And your agreement was that you then would take 70% of the profits and Todd would only get 30, right? Well, if you only have a general partnership, most states don't recognize that kind of split. Most states will say, oh no, you have to split the profits 50-50, and they will assume that that is how it's split up on your tax return. So even if you've got some kind of like agreement, the states don't like it that way because it's a partnership, right? So now let's pretend that you're rehabbing this house with Todd, okay? And Todd has decided that it's like a B-class, working-class neighborhood, right? But Todd's decided he wants Trump-style gold toilets.
Right.
And he went and ordered said toilets and has sort of blown through your budget and put it on a credit card with, to the partnership, right? Well, then Todd decides, oh, this is too much, and I'm marrying a girl that I met online in the Philippines, and I'm out. And Todd's gone.
Right.
Right? And then who then remains liable for it? 100% you. Because any debts committed to by the partnership, no matter how you structured it, you are responsible for. And of course, anybody who's going to come after those debts is going to come after the person who is A, still in town, B, has assets, and C, still wants to, has, you know, sort of a skin in the game that wants the asset to still perform, right? So a creditor could say, well, then I take this house and I'll take what I need to take from you. And a lawyer is going to know, well, this guy's here. He still has stuff. We can recover the money from him. So remember, when you go into a general partnership, you are not covered beyond your personal contribution.
So let me get this right then. With a general partnership, it really is still being a sole proprietor. Like, it's still in your own name.
It's kind of like a double sole proprietor. It's like risky sole proprietor times two.
I hope you understand that having a sole proprietorship is a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then having a general partnership really is like double as bad.
Yeah.
because now you're in a riskier entity than if you had just bought it under your own name.
Because you think as a sole proprietor, like, I'm not going to do anything that I don't trust myself to do.
Right.
Fine, but let me give you this other scary scenario. Let's say your tenant calls and says, my toilet is clogged. And you say, okay, I'm going to send my friend who's a plumber, right? And it's not a friend, but it's a friend of a friend. And this plumber goes there and they assault your tenant, right? And now the tenant is going to sue you for sending a criminal to the house who then caused them all kinds of bodily and emotional damage, right?
Right.
So you are liable for this decision, right? But let's say Todd made that decision and Todd has friends who are also abusive like that and abuse your tenant. Well, then now you know, in the first instance, you didn't mean for that to happen, but you were careless about it, right? In the second instance, you don't know that Todd did that. So both instances leave you liable for that kind of thing, right? So you just have to be so, so careful. Like I said, you might think, well, my friend and I are not going to do things like this. Okay, but, you know, there are so many decisions to be made. Then you have to make sure that you're on every email and involved in every decision so that Todd doesn't run up the bill on gold toilets, right?
Right. Exactly. So again, general partnership, bad. That's bad.
Right.
Bad. So stay away from general partnerships. Never buy a property in your own name. We know that. Okay. Never buy it if you can't. Why would you want to do a general partnership? I always try to come at these things and I'm trying to figure out, is there someone out there that would want, why would you ever structure something as a general partnership?
Right.
I mean, Garrett Sutton would say it's a terrible idea. Is there a situation where you would say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's do it that way.
Some people want to do that with their children as a way to sort of pass down assets.
But even that's dangerous because even someone asked us the question, you know, should you invest with your family?
Right.
You know, hey, we have seen so many different deals go south and sideways. In fact, we were working on a land project recently, right? We were working on a land project and one of the family members who kind of had a primary ownership in this piece of land said, you know, we'd like to sell it. And we noticed that I said, well, because I've been through these deals before. And I said, you know, is there any other mysterious family members out there in your family that does not want to sell this?
Yeah.
Or it's going to cause a problem. And he said, well, actually, there is a brother who is really difficult to deal with, but we got him on the same page.
They bought him out.
Yeah, they had to buy him out. That's
what they said, is they bought out his share so that they could then go and sell it.
And here's another situation. Remember that property that I was doing in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah. The one with the siblings.
Yeah, there were nine siblings. Oh, my gosh. And it was a huge house. And like most of the family was on the same page about trying to sell this liability that they had. It was a decrepit house. It needed about $100,000 worth of repairs. Plus, it had back taxes. It had all kinds of problems, right? Well, they couldn't find their crazy brother. They referred to him as their crazy brother. And he just...
I think you should be making that judgment.
That's what they called him. Okay. And they couldn't find him. And they're like, you know, he's an alcoholic. We can't get a hold of him, but we still want to sell it. I'm like, well, you understand. I know that he has a partnership, a general partnership with you. The title company is not going to just allow the three of you to sell it without the fourth person. He has to sign. Mm-hmm. He has to agree to the sale.
Yeah. I remember they were like hunting him down right. in some way. Yeah.
And he ended up not allowing them to sell the house. And guess what? We never did the deal as a result.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that's, I guess, maybe why you would do a general partnership to be with your family, but avoid it at all costs.
Now, let's pretend that your sole proprietorship, though, is not real estate and it's a online business, right, to sell hot sauce. And then your hot sauce sells wonderfully. It's delicious. And then you want to sell it. It's actually much harder to sell a business that's owned as a general partnership because who would want to buy that? Right? If someone wants to buy your business, they want the recipe to the hot sauce and maybe the distribution channel and the artwork that goes on the label, right? But they don't want to be in business with Todd, right?
Right.
And they don't want, that's sort of not it. Now, again, for tax reasons, there's all kinds of ways. You have to pay self-employment tax if you have a general partnership. So that's just, this is sort of these are things to think about because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to set up an LLC. I don't want to, you know, handle all the headaches that go along with it. But I'm going to tell you that the headaches are much worse.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rhone. That's R-H-O-N-E. You've got to check out Rhone. Fantastic clothing for men. I absolutely love them. In fact, if you've watched a video I've recently done on our YouTube channel, you've got to check it out, where I'm selling everything in the house. Well, I just shot a new video where I've gone through my closet and I've just gotten rid of so much old clothes. You know, it just starts creeping up on you. You just buy stuff over the years and half the stuff I've never worn or it's shrunk. It doesn't look good anymore. I'm like, why am I hanging on to this old ugly polo shirt? For nostalgia reasons, it's ridiculous. It doesn't fit well. And my wife said, hey, what about that new polo shirt you just bought? Like, that looks good on you. Well, what she was talking about is Rhone, R-H-O-N-E. They have a new commuter collection out and it's fantastic. And I said to my wife, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw out just about everything in my closet and I'm going to buy a few really nice shirts from Rhone. Some nice polos from this company. And I'm going to buy some t-shirts from them as well. And that's all I'm going to wear. I'm done. I'm done with all these random shirts and outfits that I never wear anymore. Gone. They're all donated. So what is Rhone? You're missing out. You're really missing out. I didn't know about them until recently, until I bought a couple of their shirts and I loved them. They make performance lifestyle and premium activewear. It's engineered to an unparalleled quality and comfort. They're absolute necessity for guys on the go. And they've got this new commuter collection that just came out with pants, polo shirts, shorts, and shirts that are all lightweight, comfortable, wrinkle-free. The commuter collection is good for all weather, anytime, from a weekday in the workplace to a weekend barbecue. I wore it to a business meeting, and I wore it on the golf course. So that's how good it is. And it's so lightweight, and I think my favorite part is that it's wrinkle-free. I mean, that might be my favorite part. It's wrinkle-free and comfortable. And I just don't worry about it like all, you know, when you got like just one cotton kind of shirt, it just shrinks like crazy. And that's not the case here at all. I love their stuff. I really do. So here's what you're going to do. You can get 20% off. For Father's Day, that's great. Maybe buy yourself something, right? Or if any ladies listening out there want to get the husbands in their life something great for Father's Day, pick up a great polo shirt from the commuter collection at Rhone. Here's what you do to get 20% off. Just go to rhone.com. That's Rhone. That's how you spell Rhone. rhone.com/investing to get your 20% off code. That's rhone.com/investing. Promo code investing for 20% off. That's rhone.com/investing. Again, that promo code investing. Thank you, Rhone. I love your stuff. My closet has never looked so good.
Now let's talk about this deal that you had that went bad because they never built it, right? So this you bought as a partnership with somebody else, right? And the builders backed out. Clayton was liable for the mortgage he had put on the property. And then the mortgage company came after him later. Now, if he had instead of just invested with Todd in his own name, but instead either he and Todd started an LLC as partners or he and Todd each had their own LLCs and then came on the mortgage, both partners, both LLCs, that also would have been an option, then the mortgage company wouldn't have been able to reach in and freeze your assets like you did. So Clay, this actually happened to him because there was a default on this mortgage. No property was ever built. So he was liable for something. It was a big stinky skunk, right? And so what they did, because you were defaulting on the mortgage, was they went and froze all of his personal assets so that he couldn't even buy his morning breakfast at Hot and Crusty on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
So we've done a whole series of this Our Story series, which is a playlist here on our channel. Check that out if you'd like, because we walk through and I kind of detail exactly how this unfolded, sadly, and it was crazy. So if you're thinking about getting your real estate invested, you're going to have, you know, travails, you're going to have problems at some point. And it's just a matter of overcoming them. So this was one thing that happened to me. I bought in my own name this North Carolina land deal years ago with, you know, a friend.
We're
calling him Todd. Yeah. And because now we brought this up the other day, we were driving and I said, God, if I had known that I could have bought it in an LLC and had the mortgage, then I would have only been liable for the LLC. The mortgage could have, you know, mortgage company could have only come after the LLC, not going after my personal assets and my personal bank account and all of this. We got it all settled and it's all fine now, but it was a pain in the butt. I went in to buy coffee with my debit card one day and it wouldn't work.
He logged into his bank to see what was happening. It was all red.
Like, it was all blinking red.
No money available. That was once yours.
And I called the bank and they're like, oh yeah, there's a deficiency judgment placed on your personal bank account because of this. And I was like, oh my God. So note to self, don't make that same mistake.
So, okay. So we're getting questions in the chat right now about how a mortgage company is going to treat your LLC, which is a great question. Okay. So a mortgage company a lot of times does not like to lend to an LLC if they're not specifically geared towards investors. But some mortgage companies will if you add a personal guarantee onto that. So that's to you now to go seek out the best lender. It's not, you can't just go to an existing mortgage and say like, oh, I'd like to now put this in my LLC. They're going to be like, I don't think so, Linda.
But as Garrett Sutton points out, you can do it. And this is where
you can deed the property, but right. You don't change the name on the mortgage, right, to mm-hmm. your LLC. They're not going to like that. There are some bankers that may allow that with a personal guarantee. Now, a personal guarantee means I am not just liable for what's in this LLC, but I guarantee you that I will personally come up with some way to make you right. A lot of investors don't suggest that you do that. I'm okay with it because if I'm actually borrowing the money, I'm grateful for the institution to allow me to make this investment. So I'm fine with making a personal guarantee, but let's go through this investment with Todd because had you been in an LLC, right, in this investment initially, then you only would have been liable for what was in that LLC. They couldn't have got to you. Now, let's say the LLC was in a favorable tax state, like owned by Nevada or Wyoming, which allows someone to come after you. If they win, they can only win charging orders from your LLC. That means anytime that Clayton makes a distribution from his LLC, the person who sued him can get access to that distribution. But Clayton can just never make a distribution from the LLC, and then the bank gets nothing, right? And so then the bank's going to wait around with this charging order. They have to pay taxes on the money they should be getting, but they're not. So after a few years, they're going to say, let's just settle this debt for like 25 cents on the dollar. So it would have saved him so much heartache to have this in an LLC because he would have had better negotiating power. Now, obviously, the bank lent him money. He wanted the bank to be made right. There just was no property there for him to like give them back. Right.
The builder backed out. I mean, it was a whole and the economy collapsed.
So everyone was like in a crappy place here. We're not saying this is a way to stick it to the bank. You don't want to do that. If someone lends you money, you want to get it back to them. Clearly, but you want to be protected, right? In this instance, like Clayton wasn't protected, no one was protected, and then the bank was able to go after him all the way down into the deepest depths of his own personal pockets. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So brutal. All right. So we've got sole proprietorship, general partnership, LLC. What else are we missing from this list of partnerships or the way that we want to buy real estate?
Okay. Well, there are other ways. Obviously, we're saying to you, you must choose some kind of corporation, either a C Corp, an S Corp, an LLC, or an LP, which is a limited partnership. But that's beyond the scope of this show. I'm not going to go through which one fits for you because for real estate investing, there's no one size fits all.
And we do have other shows on, you know, the best legal entity to buy real estate. So I would check out that episode if you'd like to go deeper into that because it's going to be different for everyone. We have a lot of, you know, Canadian investors that buy properties through us. And because they're in Canada, they will actually set up a C Corp. And that makes most sense for Canadian investors. But all of the properties that we buy in the United States, we use an LLC, a limited liability company. How do we, though, structure it? Are we structured when we do an LLC just as a husband and wife? Mm-hmm. We just do it as
co-owners of the LLC. And so we are both named as managers. So then when we want to buy a property and we tell the title company, okay, this is going to be owned by come up with a name, Morris House LLC, then they'll say, okay, I need your EIN number, your tax ID for Morris House LLC, and I also need your operating agreement, because they need to show who actually owns this entity, right? The government knows, because when you set it up, they sort of matched it to your social security number, so that when the government comes to collect taxes on this entity, they know it's owned by Natalie Morris, right?
Right.
The government knows, but the title company needs to know too. So it's structured so that we are both co-owners. Each country, I see that we have a lot of viewers from outside of the United States, has its own sort of, we'll call these like protection buckets, right? That mm-hmm. are in corporations. So you want to do the research in your state and your country where that's, you know, what it's called, and figure out what's best for you. We were just in Portugal last week and we met with the lawyer there about investing there. And they said, yeah, we have something sort of like an LLC. It's called this. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I don't either. But yeah, everywhere is different. All right. So let's open it up to questions now. So if that's all we wanted to cover.
I think that's good for now. Yeah. Okay. We had that great question though about someone who said they had an LLC and someone wants to invest with them, right? Okay. So this is a great way to invest with somebody but still be protected. So if this person already has an existing LLC and wants to bring on an investor, the investor can decide either in the investor's own name or the investor's LLC to issue a promissory note to your LLC. And then your LLC is only doing business with the investor. It's not like the investor gives you money, you know, but you want to make sure that there's a promissory note attached to that. Promissory notes don't have to be recorded anywhere. We've done a whole episode about promissory notes. But that's a great way to bring in an investor. And, you know, it sort of sets out all the terms that you agree on: how long, how much interest, what's the payment, what are the payment timetable. So that's actually pretty easy way to do it and a good way to do it. If that investor friend were smart, they would, you know, sort of maybe have their own LLC to invest with you.
Right.
Or a trust or something like that, but that's on them. But for you, you can do that easily. Just issue them a promissory note, but from the LLC, not to you personally.
Cody Hare asks, how do I move a cash flowing rental property that I got this year, thanks to y'all, that's in my name, into an LLC? It looks like some other people responding. Cody, you'll have to refinance your mortgage in the name of your LLC. So moving it into an LLC, he doesn't talk about having a mortgage though on the property.
Right.
So it would be a cash purchase. So if you own it outright, you don't need to deal with a mortgage company, a bank. That's out of the situation totally. So you can just simply do reach out to your title company and do what, a quit claim deed?
Or a warranty deed. That's up to you. We've done episodes on specifically how to put a property into an LLC. And we've done episodes on the differences in the deeds. So make sure you familiarize yourself with those two things. But yeah, that's just it's just a matter of asking the title company to help you transfer ownership that's on record with the county.
Sergio Sousa says it's called an LDA. And hello from Portugal. Hey, Sergio.
Oh, yeah. You want to be our friend, Sergio?
What part of Portugal? We were just there. So love it. Okay, let's see. Joe says, what found in a home inspection would make you scrap the deal? Not much. I mean, honestly, foundation is probably the only thing. If it like really catastrophic foundation repairs, that's kind of, you know, then we'll stay away from it. Structural also, I think there's a huge amount of framing that has to be done. Like we had a property recently that we did in Detroit where pulled the walls off the front of the house and noticed that there was like a lot of damage. I had to put up all new walls. We probably would have passed on that property. Don't you think?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, it's just a matter, you know, how much cost really kind of comes down to, but I think foundation repairs can be really costly. And if you have the opportunity to buy stuff where you're not having to put on all those major, major items, you know, if there's a newer roof, great. If there's an older roof, then guess what? That's going to be a cost you'll have to put on the property. Windows, how old are they? You look at those main systems in a house: electric, plumbing, roof, windows, foundation. like those items, those are the big areas where it's not terribly sexy because it's kind of hidden behind the walls, but that's where your most of your costs are going to come.
Yeah.
To put in a bathroom vanity is cheap. You know, to put in a new tub surround is cheap. To put in new flooring is relatively inexpensive. Cabinets, right. cheap. Carpet, cheap. Paint, relatively cheap. But those main other big systems, if you start adding all of them up and they all need repair, that's when you're going to spend the most amount of money. Today's episode is brought to you by the Great Courses Plus app. You've got to check out the Great Courses Plus. I love this streaming service. If you are a lifelong learner and you want to learn from some of the best professors and experts in the world, you've got to check out the Great Courses Plus. And guess what? You're going to get a free month. So stick around. I'm going to tell you how you can do that. You get a whole free month, unlimited access to their entire library of amazing courses. I'll tell you about that in just a second. They have professors from the best universities in the world, experts from the National Geographic. You want to learn photography from a National Geographic photographer? Boom. You can right in this app. And the Smithsonian Institution. That's amazing. So what you do is you get the Great Courses Plus app. You can watch video lectures from these professors, right? Or you can download the audio version of it. So you can take it with you while you drive, take a walk, mow the lawn, do other things. You don't have to be just streaming the audio. And I want to tell you about a course that I just took, which is really interesting because I don't know a lot about bonds and stocks because it scared me over the years. But if you want to understand investments, you've got to check out this course from Professor Funnelcamp. That's his name, Professor John Connell Funnelcamp, a PhD from Duke University. This guy is wicked smart. He's got 24 lectures as part of his course on understanding investments. And it's how to stop worrying and start investing. That's one of them. How investors make money. Cycles and market timing is another one. Deciding when to sell. He's got financial planning, taking charge of your investments. That's all here in these 24 lectures as part of his main understanding investments course. Guess what? You can get it for free. So go check it out totally for free right now for the first month. Okay. And all you got to do is this, go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/investing. That's thegreatcoursesplus. Don't forget the plus, P-L-U-S, thegreatcoursesplus.com/investing in order to get that free month. So you got to include the word investing in order to check it out. You will not be disappointed. Since you listen to this show, I know you are a lifelong learner. Go check it out today, and I want you to tell me about your experience. So, of course, you can always hit me up on Instagram and tell me about it as well. I'm Clayton Morris over on Instagram. Again, thanks, Great Courses. Go check it out, greatcoursesplus.com/investing. So what other questions do we have here? Larry Gillis says, will I need an LLC for an owner-financed home?
They're buying the owner finance. Okay, so the owner is allowing you to make payments to them. I would. Yeah.
It's very rare that you wouldn't want to buy a property because remember, you're using it for, number one, liability reasons, right? You're protecting yourself from a tenant slipping and falling and suing you.
Mm-hmm.
But also from a tax perspective. So there's very, I can't think of another time when you wouldn't want to buy this in an LLC, right?
I mean, unless it's your personal property, right, that you are going to live in, then that's usually not advisable for all kinds of legal reasons that are beyond the scope of the show. But yes, if you're getting an owner financed, then yeah, it's your LLC doing business with that owner. A lot of times, you know, the owner may not like that because then they're like, well, wait a minute, then I can't come after you, you know, but
right. Hope
too bad for them. I definitely would.
So Daniel Dean says, would you recommend getting a partner through a real estate meetup group as set up an LLC? Maybe does he mean as opposed to setting up an LLC?
Like that's how you find partners or?
You could. We have a lot of people that work with us at Morris Invest that buy properties that they've met locally and they've come together and partnered and then they're buying a property as an LLC together.
Yeah. That's a good idea because you're around like-minded people who mm-hmm. probably have done the research and are not going to fight you on setting up an LLC or protecting yourself. They sort of have already raised their hand and said, I understand the merits of this type of business. But again, you don't want to do that right away. I would say like, you don't just meet people and start investing though. Like there should be some kind of courtship period, don't you think?
I guess. Yeah.
Like you want to know who you're working with at least little bit, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, develop a friendship with them, right? I mean, it's like working with a private lender. Typically, lenders just don't snap, you know, and lend you money. They want to develop a personal relationship first. Let's see. Larry Russell, we'll get to your question in a second here. Kieran Duaris says, after speaking to a financial advisor, their advice is to use a personal liability insurance instead of adding a rental rental to a
LTD company.
An LTD company. It's like an LLC. What do you think? Financial advisor. I mean, I have a problem.
I have a lot of questions with that because it's not just about liability to the tenant, right? It's about also liability to you financially, right? So what can they sue you for beyond the personal liability insurance is a lot. But then also you run into the whole problem of the fact that now you're taxed in an unfavorable tax rate, at your personal tax rate. Whereas we saw in 2018, the government dropped corporate tax rate to 20%. So who doesn't want to raise their hand and say, I'd rather be taxed more favorably and more protected?
Yeah, I don't get it. And look, I'm not here to crap on financial advisors, but we have an episode that we featured a financial advisor. He's a real estate investor, and he owns like 5 rental properties. And he talked about, look, financial advisors don't encourage you to invest in real estate. There's a reason they don't. It's because they don't make money off of it. Financial advisors mostly are helping you buy stocks. Okay. They're setting up retirement accounts, but they don't make money selling you real estate. Yeah. So most financial advisors will not talk about real estate at all. You can check out that episode. Don't take it from me. Take it from an actual financial advisor who was warning our audience about listening to financial advisors. So just pay attention to that episode. I think you'd find it, very enlightening.
Now, okay. I also want to talk about the difference. I've talked about this before, but I want to make this distinction between attack number one and attack number two is what most lawyers would call an attack number one is having to do with that investment. So what he's asking here is making sure you have this specific type of insurance that protects you only in an attack number one, though. That means that someone gets assaulted on your property or someone trips and falls or you didn't maintain the electrical grid and there's a fire, right? Those are attack number ones. They specifically have to do with the property. But then an attack number two has nothing to do with the property, but you're liable for it anyway, right? So the example I've brought up before is like I get into a fist fight with someone at an amusement park and I mess her up because I'm really fierce and can do that.
Right.
Then she can sue me personally. And because I don't have this property in an LLC, but it's owned by me personally, then she can get the property. She could sell it and take the money, right? She could get anything I own personally because this is an attack number two. Same thing goes if I rear end somebody. Same thing goes if like any kind of right, you can say, okay, well then I just don't beat up other moms. Fine, bygones, but anything that you're liable for personally in attack number two now opens you up to everything in your life that's not in a corporation.
Great point. Larry Russell says, will I need an LLC for my IRA? You know, we've done episodes on the self-directed IRA and how great that is. Will I need an LLC for my self-directed IRA?
A lot of advisors do recommend you do that because what you own in the IRA, right, is subject to then being sued for everything that's in your IRA. So for us, we have some properties in there that are worth $50,000. And if we did something really dumb inside of those investments and someone wanted to sue us, they could sue for the entire balance of the IRA, which we don't want. So you want to talk to an advisor about that. I think it's not a bad idea. The problem with that is that, you know, those expenses are not tax deductions then, but it is great for protection.
Leo Lavario says, what would be your first step if you were an overseas investor? Leo, you can book a call with our team at Morris Invest. We have a lot of overseas investors. We can help you out. It just depends on one of the key to this whole process is getting an American bank account set up. Honestly, so when the rent is paid, it goes into that account. And then typically setting up a C corporation. So again, I would even recommend connecting with the folks at Corporate Direct. We work with them a lot. Again, just call them, say you heard about them from Morris Invest. They'll take great care of you. Again, that's Garrett Sutton's company, Corporate Direct. They'll help you get this stuff set up. And then when you're ready to grab that property, once you kind of get some of that, those extra few steps that overseas investors have to take, then you can be ready to work with us.
Yeah.
All right. Any other good questions here? Sherry Smith, do you put currently owned property in an LLC by doing a quitclaim? She's asking because we started renting out a house we previously lived in.
Yes, but I refer you to the podcast that we did about transfer tax. So you want to make sure that doing that does not incur a transfer tax in your state. If it does, it may be nominal and worth it. But it's definitely a good idea to do it if you can and if the expenses are not too high. It just, yeah, for all the reasons we've been talking about, yes, I would.
And let me ask Kelly, one of our producers here. Kelly, have we published that episode on transfer tax yet? If you can publish that in the chat thread, let us know. If not, it will be out soon.
Then hold tight because it's coming. Tight. There's some gems in there.
Because, you know, yeah, there is some gems because, for instance, like the state of Pennsylvania, when you transfer it, they'll hit you with, what, like an 8% tax or
something? It's a 2%. Oh, 2%. But it's high if you think about the value of the property. Yeah.
And other states don't have it. So you just need to be careful about how you do it. And that's why a good CPA will help you with that as well. All right. Robert Carey says, different topic, sort of. Would you recommend a self-directed IRA or a solo 401k for buying real estate? Robert, if you haven't watched our episode on, I think we called it the ultimate guide to the self-directed account, we had on Haley from our team. She handles all the self-directed accounts. She's excellent. I would watch that episode. We talk about the differences between the solo 401k and the self-directed IRA, and then she can help you get set up with the self-directed IRA. Very, very easy to do, and she can walk you through all of those steps.
Yeah.
Any other final questions here?
Let's see. This one's interesting about a syndicate apartment deal.
Grail Management Group. If you were syndicating an apartment deal and after 5 years were able to refinance and give all the partners their original investments back, how much equity would you want the partners to retain? It's a great question. I mean, if you were going to syndicate an apartment deal, Kevin, maybe you would retain 20% of that syndication. So you, as part of that owner of that LLC, would retain about 20%. Mm-hmm. You're putting up 80% for other people to invest in. You know, your goal would be able to pay that 80% back to those people.
And then probably own the apartment deal with your own refinance.
Right.
Right.
And so you would almost own it fully. Or you can refinance it again with other investors. Most commercial real estate investors only want to be in a deal for 5 years or a few years. Mm-hmm. So that refinancing would allow you to put new investors into the property and start rinse and repeat, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, those are terms you work out at the outset. And you can look at all kinds of different people's deals. There's a taker for every kind of risk tolerance.
You want to take this one from JJ?
Do you use your holding company LLC that owns your rentals LLC and are both? Yes. Okay. Let me read the question again. Do you use a holding company LLC that owns your rental LLCs and are you both members in the holding company? Absolutely. Yes, we do. There are some, let me think about that. Who owns the holding company? For the most part, we do own the holding company and the holding company then is owned by our trust. We use the holding company specifically so that we can own our real estate in the most tax favorable states that are subject to the charging order. So specifically Nevada, Wyoming, I think Delaware also allows the charging order. And so the holding companies are in these tax favorable and legally protected states. And then the LLCs that report to the holding company are in the states where the investments are. This was a structure diagram set out for us by our tax advisors and then actually implemented by our lawyers at York, Cal & Goyman, and our tax advisors are with Wealthability. So this is something that, you know, we just sort of sent them a list on paper of what we owned. And they're like, nope, you're doing it wrong. It needs to be like this. And then they give you this whole beautiful structure diagram and they explain to you why. So if you've gotten this far in a show like this, you now understand why. And you want your holdings like that. Believe me.
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah. So I guess that those are some great questions today. I don't think we have any more. Maybe we get one.
Let's see. So people are asking with for a list of lenders that we work with. I don't have many that I would like to refer. It's a harder process, you know, to just like say that. Because Clayton always, you know, we find a lawyer or a lender and we're like, okay, these are pretty good terms and the merits of the deal are such that we should accept it. The deal's great. We can pay this much on financing it. And then inevitably 2 weeks later, I'm in tears. Because
there's like all these extra
lender,
fees,
yeah. You know, adds like a layer of bricks on it. And it's hard.
You're better off to go on the private money route. And honestly, we've got a great private money series here on the show. Check out that whole series. I think it's like 5 videos back to back to back. Watch it. We've also had Susan Lasseter Lyons on the show. She's written in a fantastic book called Getting the Money. You know, she does not work with banks.
Yeah.
She's like, once you start going through my course, you're not going to work with banks. You should take her course. She is one wicked smart lady. She's done over $1 billion in real estate deals, and she is fantastic. So again, we just did a show with her. We've got a great private money series, and you walk through step by step how to get private money. And then that way you're not adding in all of these extra fees. You don't right. have to worry about all these extra hoops and hurdles you have to jump through with a lender.
But sometimes we do, we'll get some private money and then it's just, we promised that lender a really high interest rate because we just wanted to get into that deal fast. And then it's on me to go find a lender to refinance it at a lower rate. And, you know, all of them, a lot of them now have adjustable rate mortgages between like high fives into the low eights. And so, you know, there's a whole kind of series of questions you need to answer before you get to that route. But we actually don't have a partner that we're comfortable just, you know, telling you to go and use. There's a lot of legwork in that. And I don't want yeah. the liability of telling you to use somebody like that.
Yeah. Check out. So someone's saying, can you please repeat that name? Yes. We'll put it in the chat here. It's Susan Lasseter Lyons is her last name. Lyons.
The book is called Getting the Money.
Yeah. And we have a link for it. In fact, we actually have a video here. We just published our interview with her on our channel. So check it out. Getting the Money. And we interviewed her and she's fantastic. So you got to check that out. Absolutely fantastic. So there you go. That is a look at how to invest with different partnerships.
I hope I scared the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Which is good because you don't want to be like Clayton and you can't buy a bagel in the morning, right? So take this seriously. Even if you think it's your best friend in the world, you know, that the universe will test that assumption. Just let me leave you with that.
That's absolutely the case. So there you go. I hope you found this useful. Thank you so much. Please subscribe to the channel. We try to bring as much value as we can here to you to help you on your journey in real estate investing. Please hit the subscribe button. Also, download our Freedom Cheat Sheet, which is a 3-page PDF that helps you figure out, you know, how many houses will it take for you to become financially free. You can download that right there. And we'll see you next time here. So now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. We believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Just make sure you do it in a smart partnership. We'll see you next time.